We're going to be in Luke 23, if you want to open your scriptures there, to Luke 23. And I want to begin our reading at verse 32 and read down through verse 43. And if you'll follow along with me there in your scriptures, I sure would appreciate it. Let me say this too. All the singing this week has really been a blessing. You've had a different group or choir here every night, and every one of you fellows did great. You blessed my heart, fed my soul. Thank you for all the good music we've had this week. And the music leader and the pianist and just everything. Thank you so much. All right, Luke 23, beginning at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. The rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Yes. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Let me pause here a moment. It was written in Greek. That was the language of the common people. Yeah. That was all established under Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. And so the Greek language sprung from him and his dominion. And then it was also written in Latin. Latin was the language of the learned. We'd call them the educated. We'd call them the elite in society of that day. And then Hebrew was the language of the Jewish people. So it was all put up so everybody that came by, whether they had been learned in the fine schools or not, or they were of the old school of Hebrew, they could read that sign. You know, when you come to John's gospel, and the Jews came to Pilate and said, don't put up there, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews, but write that he says he is. And Pilate said this, and I've often thought of that, what I have written, I have written. What an indictment. What an indictment. We'll read on. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Boy, the text there are in here. It's loaded, isn't it? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Wonder why he called him Lord. His name was Jesus. Wonder why I called him Lord. Same reason Paul did when he's on the Damascus Road. Who art thou, Lord? Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Hallelujah. I'm glad he's Lord, aren't you? And I'm going to tell you right now, he's not Lord because we made him Lord. He's Lord because God raised him up. Yeah. This same Jesus whom you have crucified and made him both Lord and Christ. Not Christ and Lord, but Lord and Christ. Leave the Bible alone. It's right. It's right. Well, I'm having a hard time getting started, but I'm enjoying it. When you read the modern version, you see there's a numerical value through the scriptures. Numbers mean so and so. The modern versions mess all that up. There's a metallic, amen, mode through these scriptures. Gold means something. Silver means something. Brass means something. But the modern versions mess that up. So stay with the book. Stay with the book. Hallelujah. Preacher, you might have to come preach. Praise God. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Will you please pray with us and for us? Father, how we thank you for this privilege to be in your house tonight. And Lord, to have heard this good music, not only by these dear men, Lord, who've given their lives for the furtherance of the gospel through music and testimony, but Lord, also this congregation who lifted their voices up together and sang. And Lord, we thank you so much to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. That's what makes a meeting. And now, Father, I pray you'll continue to abide. And I sure stand in need of your divine touch on my life tonight. And I pray to have it, that I might glorify you and that I might edify each and every listener. And Lord, should there be one here tonight that's not saved, I pray somehow you would help me, Lord, to form my words, that the Holy Spirit could direct them to the heart of that one. And then, Lord, maybe some careless, haphazardly living saint is here tonight. God, help all of us to realize the time is near. And, Lord, the time is at hand when we should awake out of sleep. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to draw nigh to you, that you in turn might draw unto nigh unto us. We ask our prayer in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, what I'm going to preach on tonight might sound a little strange or odd coming from the text that we've read, because there are so many textual texts right here in this passage that I have read. But I want to talk to you a little while tonight on the subject of opportunity. Now, there's three things about opportunity we find here in our text. Number one, we find opportunity given. And number two, we find opportunity grasped. One person laid hold on this opportunity. But then thirdly, we find opportunity gone. And when God's people meet together and are seated before a preacher, a teacher of the scriptures, whichever the case might be, opportunity is going to avail itself. Now, what I want to do, with the Lord being my helper, a little strange than I, strangely from the way that I normally preach, but I want to walk away from the text that we've read here, and with God's help, we want to work our way back unto it. Now, the Lord related a parable about a man. Matthew records that in chapter 21, a man who had two sons, and he came to the first of these two sons, and he said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And the son said, "I go, sir," but he went not. And of course, the Lord was teaching the Pharisees and the publicans there a lesson in this. And then he came to the second son, And he said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And that son said, "I will not." But later he repented and he went. Amen. Now, and what I want to say to you, that both of these sons had the same relationship. Amen. There was not any difference in them and in the father who made the request out of them. And then both of them had the same request. He didn't say to one thing, to another thing. And you know, this is so sad, Pastor, and I know in your prison work and in your pastoral work, you have witnessed this again and again. So many people are sitting back waiting for God just to do something real special for them, that they will see that the truth of the gospel. But he's going to do the same thing that he's done right here. He's going to give the opportunity out, amen, to everyone that's under the sound of the preaching and teaching are singing, actually, the gospel. He's not going to do a special work just to get somebody saved so they can talk about some great thing God has done in order to move them. I'm thankful when I was about a 12-year-old boy, a preacher stood up and preached the gospel. And my heart was arrested and I saw my need to come to Christ. There was others all about me. They seemed not to be moved by it, but I'm sure glad God spoke to my heart and made me see my need. And that opportunity availed itself, and I'm glad I took hold of that opportunity. And I've been saved every day since then. Bless His name. Both of these sons had the same responsibility. Both had the same opportunity to please their father. Both of them did. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." "I go, sir." He went not. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." "I will not." But later he repented and went. And when I was thinking on this, Pastor, my mind goes back to my childhood days. And in those days, some of you might be able to remember this, you didn't go to town every day. You went one day a week. And most of the time that was on Saturday, because a man worked the other 5 days and went to church on the seventh day, the first day of the week, we called it the last day, but the first day of the week. But anyway, they did what they called trading. And that simply meant we're going to buy groceries. That's what it meant. But anyway, I remember we were going through town, Dad, and I, as we were driving up Market Street there. At that time, Clinton had a depot. And then the train would stop there on occasions, especially to pick up passengers. And so around that depot was a group of men. They hung around there all time. And they were known as the Canned Heat Gang. I don't know if anybody here knows what I'm talking about or not, but they made a little item, and it was called Canned Heat. And a little can about that big around, about that flat. In fact, they still make it. I saw some of it not long ago. But what they'd take the lid off of that, you'd strike a match to it, and it would burn. You could put a pan over and cook. It was made for campers, more or less. And so, anyway, what these fellows would do, this is why they were called the Canned Heat Gang. They were alcoholics. And they would buy this little old can. Best I can remember in those days, and I do remember because I was in a hardware store, and one of those fellas came in to buy a can, and it was 37 cents. I remember it. And the man said he just handed him out exactly 37 cents. He knew how much it was and everything. And so he bought it. And they tell me what these fellas would do is they would take a piece of light bread and drain that canned heat stuff through it, and then it was very, very high in alcohol content, and then they would drink it. And a little old can like that would make maybe a couple of men drunk. Now, that's what they told me. But anyway, we call these guys the Canned Heat Gang. Now, I called them that because that's what I heard everybody else call them. And so one day, Dad and I, we were driving up by the depot, and I heard that. I saw Dad stick his hand out the window and say, "Hey, Crappy, how you doing?" And then in a minute, another one stuck his head up, and he called him by his name, and he said, "Hey there, Midnight, how you doing?" And so I thought, "Daddy, do you know those fellas? I mean, my dad went to church every Sunday. You know those fellas, Daddy?" And it surprised me. He said, "Yes, son, I know them. We used to play ball together. I grew up with those boys out here in this town." And as we drove on, I thought, here's my dad. We're in a very nice car. He's dressed nice. He provides clothes for me and always have plenty of food to eat. And those poor old men over there, here's my dad. Look how good he's got it made. Those poor old men over there, boy, isn't that terrible?" And it dawned on me, those men had the same opportunity my dad had. They were raised in the same atmosphere. They were raised in the same town. They went to the same school. And the same opportunities for work or whatever availed itself for them as much as it did my dad. I'm thinking about people right now who went to the same church I went to, sat in the same Sunday school class I sat in. I spent the night in their house. They spent the night in my house. I told you on the other evening, maybe Wednesday evening, the last word I heard from one of them, he was doing 30 years in the state penitentiary for vehicular homicide. Another one they found dead, and another one was on dope real bad. And so I began to think about that, and I thought, hey, I used to play with these boys. We sat under the same preacher. We had the same opportunity, but they didn't take hold of that opportunity. They wanted to go the other way and feed their flesh or whatever they were doing that got them into that trouble. Hey, I'm telling you, thank God for the day. I have nothing to boast in, nothing at all but the grace of God and the goodness of the Lord. I ought to be in hell tonight, but thank God He saved me. I'm glad for the opportunity that God gave me, and I took hold of it many years ago. Wonderful to be saved and be a Christian. Had the same thing offered to me that those boys had offered to them, preacher. Same thing. Thank God for His keeping grace. Amen. I'm no stronger than they are, but there's a God in heaven who can fill you with grace and strength to help you to say no to the things of sin and the things of this world. I'm telling you, I'm so glad it's saved. I'm a whole lot gladder, if that's a word. If it is not, just take it, all right? I'm a whole lot gladder tonight than I was when this meeting started, that I'm saved by the grace of God. One of these boys did his father's will. Because Jesus asked them, which one of these boys did the father's will? And he said, I suppose he, the last one, because he repented and went. Amen and amen. One did the father's will. The other one did not. Same opportunity. Same responsibility. One grasp, the other let it go by. Then our Lord gave another parable, and you referred to it tonight. The publican and the Pharisee went up to the temple to pray. Boy, isn't that a beautiful story? Amen. They're standing up there, and this old Pharisee, he says, God, I thank Thee I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner, Lord, and I'm not unjust, and Lord, I'm not an adulterer, and Lord, I'm not even like this old publican over here. And I fast twice in the week, and I pay tithes of all that I have. Now, Jesus has given this story. Amen. They went up to the temple to pray. But all of a sudden, over here stands this old publican. And the Bible said he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. I used to say lift up his head, but I reread that tonight. He wouldn't even raise his eyes up, let alone his head. But he smote himself on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm saying here to you tonight that two men have the same obligation. They both are in debt. Both of them had the same opportunity. They could be delivered out from under that debt. Both men had the same need. They needed to be saved. Both of them had the same nature. They both were sinners. But thank God one was proud that he was better than the other sinner. I said this, preacher, and I know you'll say amen here. God has never saved a proud person. That's exactly right. Because he resisteth the proud. He's not going to let the proud get near him. One trusted in the mercifulness of God, and the other trusted in his own self. One exalted himself. He became condemned. And the other humbled himself and went down to his house justified. Amen. May I say something to you tonight? Meekness is not weakness. When we humble our hearts before God, that does not mean we've become a less man or a less woman. Amen. I remember what Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Why? Because I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Amen and amen. Here is one condemned. Here's one justified. Both had the same opportunity. Then I read in the scriptures that two rich men came to Jesus. Mark tells us, and always if you're reading a story in the Gospels and Mark records it, be sure and read Mark's account. He puts in little things. Mark reminds us of a diligent housekeeper. He just uncovering things all the time. And Mark is the only one that tells us is that rich man came running. They kneeled down before the Lord, and he asked the Lord, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And then the other one climbed a sycamore tree. So now watch this. Both of these men were eager to see Christ. One comes running, one comes kneeling, one comes asking, and the other, can you imagine a rich man climbing up a sycamore tree because he heard Jesus were to pass that way? And this is off of the text, but bear with me just a minute. Amen. I don't know where all Jesus was going, but I know one place he wasn't going to miss. He was coming under that sycamore tree. I believe he saw old Zacchaeus climbing that tree, don't you? A long time before he got there. And so he walked under that tree. And the little song we used to sing about it, I'm sure that comes to mind as well. But now both of these men were eager to see Jesus. Both of them had great possessions. Because it said of Zacchaeus that he was rich. He was chief among the publicans. He was the number one. You wanted to see the money man in the publicans, you went to see Zacchaeus. Amen. He may not have been too tall, but he had a big bank account. Amen. And he climbed this tree, amen, because he wanted to see the Lord Jesus. Now, both of them had the same opportunity. Jesus was coming by. Now, here is something, please don't forget. When, you know, every gospel writer presents Jesus in a different way, and there's a purpose behind that. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, our Lord leaves Galilee. And he marches all the way to Jerusalem, and there he dies. Everything from Luke 9:51 to the crucifixion of Christ took place on one trip. Now, here's where I'm going. One trip. This is the last time Jesus is coming through Jericho. Last time. If Zacchaeus doesn't get to see Jesus this time, he's not going to get to see him. Because he is going to Jerusalem to die. Hallelujah. Amen. That's exactly right. Yes, sir. His face was set steadfastly. Amen. That's the way he was going. Now, here's what we have. Both of them were eager to see Jesus. Both of them wanted to see him. Both of them were rich. Both had the same opportunity. Jesus comes by. One rejects Christ. And one received him. I'm talking about opportunity. Opportunity. Jesus spoke of two gates. He said one gate is straight and one gate is wide. Two ways. One way is narrow, the other way is broad. Two destinations. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. Two congregations. One congregation is few, one is many. Two foundations. One is rock, one is sand. Opportunity. Opportunity. Now, here's our text. Let me say a few words about this. We'll be done. Our text mainly here is from verse 39 down through verse 43. And here are two malefactors. The Bible tells them insurrection for murder. And also they were thieves. Wicked men. Two of them. And the Bible says here that the Lord is crucified and the thief, yes, sir, on either side. So the Lord is between two thieves. Now, watch it about these thieves. Both of these thieves are equally near. One's on the right hand. The other is on the left hand. There's not one next to him and one down at the bottom of the hill. Or one across the top of the hill on the other side. They're both equally near. Okay? Now, they both could equally hear. And Jesus prayed this prayer. I read it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Now, both of these men were near Christ. Both of these men could equally hear Christ, and both of these men were equally guilty. Remember in verse 41 what this one thief said, we receive the due reward. We are receiving what we are due. We are receiving what we ought to have happen unto us. Both of them, not you're receiving and I'm not receiving, and you were pretty bad and I was not hardly as bad as you are, but we receive. He said both of us were equally guilty. And watch this, both of them were equally perceptive. In verse 40, this one thief said to the other, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Seeing. Perceiving, being able to see, being able to understand, to comprehend. Here you see, you're in the same condemnation as I am hanging here. And watch this, both of them could equally speak. One railed on him. Now the other account in the Gospels is that both of them started railing on him. But something happened to one of them. Something happened to one of them. This one continued in his way. The other one didn't, as we'll see in a minute. But both of them could equally speak. One railed on him And the other rebuked him. Dost thou not fear God? Aren't you afraid? He's already realizing who this is on the cross there. Is he not, Pastor? He's already realizing that. Hey, don't you have any fear of God? Don't you know who this is? Both of them could equally hear. Both of them could equally see. Both of them could equally speak. And both of them were equally dying. We receive the due rewards for our deeds. We know that great verse in Romans 6:23. There's argument to exactly if that's talking about spiritual death or eternal death or whatever. It doesn't matter. That verse holds true in every situation. The wages of sin is death. That was the way all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It'll be the same way when Christ comes back to reign. Amen. That's exactly the wages of sin is death. Both had the same opportunity. Both equally near, both equally here, both equally guilty, both equally perceptive, both equally could speak, both equally were dying. And both equally needed salvation. Every person who is lost needs to be saved. Every person that is lost, if they have not come to know Christ, if they do not know Him in the free pardon of sin, they need to be saved. Now, when it comes to you and I, We dare say this. We would not say it. But it seems like some men are pretty good sinners. And the other ones are pretty bad sinners. And I don't know about, here's a man I've been witness to for 38 years. God laid him on my heart. I prayed for him. And I've got to go see him again. His wife's in church. All three of his children are married. They're all in church. Their family's in church. This man had never been saved. But I would say of this man, he is a good man. I would trust him with my billfold. He's a good man. He's a sinner, but he's a good man. That's the way we look at things. But when it comes to God, there's no good sinners. No pretty good sinners. Every sinner is equally a sinner before Almighty God. Amen. If he's never committed adultery, if he has never been drunk, if he has never blasphemed God, has he not been to the cross of Christ and believed on Him? He is a sinner, and he will go to hell if he dies. Both of them had the same opportunity. Because Christ is dying for sinners. That's why He's going to the cross. You remember what they said? Oh, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. I believe it's Matthew who wrote that. Luke says it a little differently here. Save thyself. He couldn't. Christ couldn't save Himself. I'm not saying that He couldn't have come down from the cross. He could have. But if he had saved himself, he could have saved nobody else. Amen. Aren't you glad he stayed on the cross? Amen. He hung there until he had pleased the Father that every sin, I believe for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth had been paid for. I don't believe he died for a select few. I believe he died for all. Both of them. One died lost, the other died saved. Both heard the same sermon. Both of them. Didn't they? Both of them heard the same sermon. The Lord spoke at least 7 different times from the cross. And if you remember this, why I know they both heard the same sermon, brother, is this. when they came to break the legs of those being crucified, they break the legs of the thieves. So that meant the thieves were still alive. Because while they would break their legs, they could push up and get breath. But when they broke their legs, they couldn't push up anymore and they died of suffocation. But here is the Lord. When they came to Him, He's already dead. Hallelujah. He said all He's going to say. Can I just share a nugget with you? Everything that Jesus Christ is doing right now, He's doing for the saint. Amen. He's not doing anything else for the sinner. He's done everything for the sinner He can do. Everything He's doing right now, He's doing for you and I. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's interceding for you right now. Amen. Interceding, telling you to be, Lord, help them to be faithful. Lord, help them to honor me. Help them to tell others about me. The Lord is interceding for you and I. Thank God for the sinner. He's done all that can be done. When He said it is finished, then He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. I think I'm more saved now. I'm gladder, more gladder now than I was a while ago. Isn't it wonderful to have such a Savior as you and I have? One died lost, the other died saved. Both of them heard the same sermon. They were still alive. Jesus already dead. They had to hear everything He said from the cross. Both of them heard the same thing. Now, one heard the sermon, but he heard it indifferently to truth. He missed the Savior's message. He missed the Savior's Messiahship. He missed the Savior's mission. And he misunderstood the Savior's method. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He couldn't, because He wanted to save us. The other heard the sermon and opened his heart to its truth. He realized himself a sinner. I call that conviction. I've heard you use that term. He repented of his sins. Amen. Sure he did. That is repentance. He recognized his helplessness. He fully relied on the Savior. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he rebuked the thief for what he had said against Christ. Now here you have four things about this thief that is saved on the today, he said. Today. Well, that's right. Today. In the Old Testament, when the saints died, they went to what we call paradise, which then was in the bowels of the earth. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me down there. Can you imagine? How many ever heard Ed Blue preach? Did you ever hear him preach that about the keys? Did you ever hear him preach that? Oh, mercy. He said they were all in a big discussion down in paradise and said, Abraham said, well, fellas, I'll tell you one thing. Said the Lord told me that He'd come through my seed. And then David spoke up and said, well, he said, I was promised a son that would sit on the throne for forever. And they kept looking around and they saw John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, fellas, said, he's here. No, we saw Simeon. Simeon said, he's here. Amen. Said, I held him up in the temple. I preached about that last night, remember? And he said, looked around and they saw John the Baptist. And John said, well, fellas, I'll tell you right now. Said, I baptized him. Said, it's got to be getting closer. Got to be getting closer. They said, who's this new guy come in over here? Said, what's your name? He said, well, I'll tell you, my name's not important. Said, I'm just an old thief. But said, I know who you're talking about. Amen. I know who you're talking about. Amen. I know who you're talking about. and said he's about to be here any minute. Said he just told me a little while ago, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And all of a sudden they heard the keys rattling. They said, who is this coming up with the key? And he opens the door. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what a day. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when he comes to reign upon this earth? Lord, can you imagine what that's going to be like? My. Conviction, repentance, faith, and works. All four on that thief that gave his heart to Christ. Let me say this. I'm finished. Death comes to all. Saved and lost. Being saved does not take a person out of the matter of him dying. Saved and lost. Death's coming to us one and all. We don't like to think about it. And when you're young, you don't think much about it. Although young people do die. The older you get, I guess the more you think about it. But it's coming. Now, the all-important question is this. Have you taken opportunity of that opportunity? Have you opened your heart to receive Christ? Are you ready to meet him? Opportunity. Will you take advantage of it? Will you grasp it? Or will you let it go by? How many do you know tonight? Let's let it go by. I told the pastor. I followed a man. I witnessed to him. I don't know how many times. I followed him right up to his deathbed. I was right beside begging him to trust Christ. He said, not right now. He went out into eternity crying, not right now. Not right now. Sad, isn't it? But I'm glad God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Are you a Christian? That's all that's going to matter. Who was that testifying? Somebody was testifying to that effect tonight. That's all that's going to matter in the end. It won't matter what impressions we made here. What fame we achieved here, all that's going to matter is what we've done with Jesus Christ.